biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Everybody, how you doing? It is me, it is I, it is DJ Impact here with the Vegas Bad Boys. Welcome to another edition. I got some of them here. I got Simon Street. How you doing over there?
Just want to say that I treat thirst traps like expensive cars. I love to look. Mm-hmm. But I ain't gonna buy it because I can't afford you.
Oh, okay. I took note.
Nah, I'm glad you did.
King Lucky.
Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
Why do you sound like heavy machinery?
Steaks and weights, baby. Steaks and weights.
Matt Michaels.
Fuck.
Is that your intention or is that your feeling?
No, you have to let the other shoe drop. If you say fuck,
King. Oh,
King. Yeah.
No, no, that was a fuck with the CK.
Oh, the four fucking. Oh, the fucking.
Oh, man. Well, it looks like you guys have been having a good time.
Yes.
Yes. We're going to get to the three count and see where your mind's at and see how we can get some intelligent conversation going.
And you picked us to do that?
Way too much credit.
Yeah.
All right, here. Oh.
Oh, the show's already over. Oh. Damn, how do you fuck that up every week?
It's becoming a trend. Whatever.
It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
1, 2, 3.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
Okay. From ProWrestlingSheet.com, they had a story. I want to see what you all think. It's been 10 years since WWE has filmed the TV taping in Madison Square Garden. And they'll be back for Raw and SmackDown September 9th and 10th. Now, since WWE have been on hiatus, other wrestling promotions like ROH and AAA, you know, they've had events there. So the question is, does it even matter that WWE is back at the wrestling Mecca? Or have they time just passed by? What do you think?
It's always important when you do a show at the Garden. You know, it's evident because WWE tried to block a couple companies from going into the Garden. But I think it's pretty big. You know, it'll be a special show. Both shows are going to be there. I mean, the wild card rule is out the window. I mean,
I think it was out the window in the beginning.
Yeah, but anyway, it's going to be a big show, so not a huge issue. But I do foresee them going back to the Garden more often now that they see the hallowed halls are starting to be booked by other companies.
Simon Street, is this really a big deal or not? I mean, 10 years. I mean, first it was always exciting seeing them at the Garden. Then he just disappear, and now they back. I mean, what do you think?
I'm always going to say it's always a big deal when you do a show at the Garden. It doesn't matter what promotion you are. It's always a great thing to look forward to for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a good thing to look forward to for television taping. As the fucking said, you know, the hallowed halls mean something. Yeah. The only big question that might be a big deal is if these Raw and SmackDown tapings at Madison Square Garden aren't filled up. Mm-hmm. That's the big fucking deal.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
wow,
can they do it?
I don't know. Well, let's see what Matt over here think. What do you think?
Well, I think the oh, man, I just get choked up thinking about the hallowed grounds of Madison Square Garden. I remember when I was just a little kid and my parents, mm-hmm. we lived in Chicago.
Right.
And yeah. I said, Dad, can we go, please, to the hallowed squares of Madison Square Garden to catch wrestling? And he's like, no, son, it's in fucking New York. Shut the fuck up, you fucking moron. But I never gave up the dream. You know, I wanted to go to Madison Square Garden. I wanted to see wrestling.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, be a part of it. Every time they... I'm sorry. I get so emotional with this.
Yeah.
Every time they do a television tape and for Madison, mm-hmm. Madison Square Garden, I sit in front of my TV.
Yeah.
And I continuously fast forward through commercials and matches because I have a DVR.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I still, I just know what's so special just being in the hall. I can't even say it right now, man. Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
You know, it's just, I want to go there, but it's in fucking New York City. Why the fuck would I want to go out to that shithole?
Oh, boy.
It's just something that is a perpetuated myth by Vince McMahon to make this seem like it's something special over the years.
Yeah.
In reality, they don't give a fuck about Madison Square Garden. And you can come back on me all you want, but the day they stopped doing the 10th annual WrestleMania, so they did the first one, the 10th one, the 20th one, and then what happened? Vince said, I like money more than I like the fucking garden. So there you go. That's as much as I care about the garden, as much as he does. If it makes you money, fucking great. If it doesn't, we're just going to do it in a big outdoor stadium in New York. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's no myth anymore. There's no fucking
The mystique hollowed, is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so the hallowed halls Vince is going to fill with money. I like it.
What do you guys think? I mean, why did he decide to even come back? Why do you guys even think he decided to come back in the first place? Why not just go back to Barclays?
Because he's fucking Vince McMahon. I mean, I don't know why we even ask these questions about the way that fucking Vince McMahon thinks. I have no idea why Vince McMahon thinks the way he does. Obviously, he's like, why the fuck not? I don't know. He's probably just like, you know, well, I agree with Michaels. He just wants to capitalize on...
It's spiting the fucking companies who dared have the balls to go into Madison Square Garden when we pulled out of it.
Yeah, it is a spite against those companies, but it is also too, you know, a lot of people hold that stadium in high regard, and so I do think that, you know, there's some tradition behind.
It's not even the original fucking Madison Square Garden, dude.
Very, very true, but the memory.
Oh Jesus Christ!
You know what? I have memories too.
Yeah, how good are your memories of your ex-wives?
I was just about to say that. Exactly. You was reading my mind,
yeah,
Mike.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I was just going to say, at the end of the day, first to answer your question, Michael's, fuck no. I don't think about it. Simon Street don't go backwards, especially into that direction. But what I will say is I think Vince is trying to capture an audience of people who have that nostalgia feeling, whether it's real or whether it's just, you know, why the fuck not? And yes, I think it is out of spite because Vince McMahon was like, oh, fucking ROH and fucking AAA are only going there. I'll show them I can do it anytime. You know what?
That is the best Rolf the Dog impersonation from the Muppets I've ever heard.
If Vince McMahon was a fucking Muppet, he'd sound like that. My point is we're all right. It's just something that he wants to fucking do.
Okay.
Why the fuck not? You're going to watch it, aren't you?
Of course.
You will. Probably 4 days later, but you're watching it. So, you know.
Well, it never bothered me if it was at Madison Square or elsewhere.
And really, honestly, with Raw and SmackDown nowadays, like, does it even fucking matter what stadium it is? I don't even know.
It all looks the same.
All looks the same, exactly.
Especially when you turn the lights out.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, let's go to our number two, count over the night. Oh, let me cut that up.
Wow. That's strike two.
There you go. Leave me alone. It's been a rough day. Okay.
Rough.
Our second one, And this actually comes from ProWrestlingSheet.com as well. Finn Balor decided he wanted to take 2 months off from the ring. And apparently he just wants to recharge. You know, I mean, sometimes you just need to take a break. Now, as you know from this past Extreme Rules pay-per-view, he dropped the title to Shinsuke. So that could have gave a little bit of a hint of maybe there was going to be some changes with what he wanted to do. So here's the question. Should performers be given more time off for mental and physical health? What do you think, King Lucky?
Without question. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you look at it now. Charlotte's been out for a while. Mm-hmm. She's got a break, right? A lot of times you see them use the same people over and over again in storylines. Mm-hmm. They capture multiple titles. So the fans turn on them. Like Charlotte, the fans have turned on her. Mm-hmm. You know.
What?
Yes.
What?
Jesus yes. Christ.
How
dude.
They turned on her.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, look, man. Ain't nobody turned on Charlotte. We was like, look, boo-boo, get that time off and go jump on that CN Almas dick. Listen. That's all they talking about. We happy for her. We happy for her. She worked her ass off, carried the motherfucking, women's title for the longest time. I mean, I never heard that. I'll let you finish. I was just shocked when you said that.
You've never heard or you've never sensed that watching the programming?
You've never realized that her character is a fucking heel?
No, her character is a heel, but even if your character is a heel, at a certain point, if you are just being shoved down people's throats, mm-hmm. like Charlotte has been at times, then you are getting tired of her and people have gotten tired of her. So I do think that...
Who?
The fans, Ooh. Bro.
What fans?
Anyways, the
no,
whole
no,
point,
no. Seriously, fucking defend it, man.
I will defend it because I am one of those people that
so
I enjoy.
So it's you.
Hold on, I enjoy Charlotte, heel or face, right? I enjoy the character, but when she is inserted so much into every storyline,
but let me ask you
and
this
she
question:
is pushed
though.
So much and given so many titles, it does become a little bit. It's a little
mad,
bit sickening.
Mad, right? Okay. Yeah. So let me ask you this question, because the way I looked at Charlotte having to be overutilized, if we even say that, is because there was a vacancy that needed to be filled.
Are there not other women that
now
could
there
fill
is.
That?
Now
no,
there is.
No. Mm. Even before that, there were other women that could have filled that vacancy.
Who?
You've had quite a few women.
Who?
Let's be real.
No, okay.
Well, yeah, let's be real. Yeah, name the names.
Name them. I'm just saying, because at the end of the day, Alexa Bliss was still an injury, and she just now came back, a month ago, right?
Are there?
And then you had Bayley, who was just in stop-loss transition until they realized, okay, let's insert her now that we figured out Sasha's not immediately coming back. And then we had, Dana Brooke, who tried to show up for a second. That did not work. Then you had Mello, who was partnered with R-Truth for a while.
I still want to hear his answers.
I know. I'm just curious.
Who are these women?
All right. So let me ask you this. Is Ember Moon not talented enough?
She's very talented, and she's underutilized.
Thank you. What about Asuka?
She's also not at the level of Charlotte.
Very true. But, I mean, all right. So here's what I want to say. If you build Charlotte up so high...
Uh-huh.
Right? And by right, I mean, her skills match up, legacy, I mean, just her lineage, right? But to me, there are other women that you could have used in that spot over and over
again. Who are going to get the same type of heat?
No, but you could build it.
You can build Ember Moon's heat. You can build Asuka's heat.
You can build other stars. You absolutely can.
No, wait. You just said build other stars. I'm talking the heat.
Yeah. Because you got to admit, she got the heat on lock.
Listen.
When she come in, people are pissed.
Exactly. That's the point of a heat.
Did Carmella have heat too? Not to the level of Charlotte, but did she have heat?
When she first started off,
when
not
she
now.
Wasn't a fucking face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? She's a face.
So
you're going to turn her heel?
Other people outside of Carmella and other people outside of Charlotte could have also done it as well.
Like who?
That's what I'm saying. You could have built that person.
I think the one person that
you're
they had.
You're not answering
okay,
it.
Okay.
A
I think
name.
I gave
person,
you some names.
I think the one person that they found to replace it and it worked out perfectly is Lacey Evans. That was the best that they could come up with. And I'm not saying she's even held in comparison to the heat that, that Charlotte has.
But look at Lacey Evans. If you were Vince McMahon walking backstage,
she looks just like Charlotte.
Yeah, if you just happened to turn your head left or right, you, if you had either of them on the side of him, he'd think he was fucking having a stroke.
He probably was.
Yeah. So Lacey Evans, yeah,
she's not that far of a reach.
It's right. It's the same type of heel. But that's what I'm saying. Give me someone else who you can actually say legitimately you can build up as a heel.
Well, first off, I want you guys to wrap this back around to the initial question. Okay, should performers be given time off for mental and physical health? So we want to go back to that. But so wrap it back around to that.
They absolutely should be. Yes.
Okay. And are you going to stop there?
Yes.
Okay.
They absolutely should.
What do you think, Simon Street?
I think that they should, within reason. Are we talking about a rotation? So, like, an expectation of a year's calendar, you know, if they'd like to use that, or, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, if one of the talent... I mean, it would be nice if they were... If WWE was to come forward and let them know that there would be a rotation. But nevertheless, if you decide, hey, I want to be out... You get that opportunity, not thinking that taking that opportunity to leave for a few months is going to cause you now to...
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Okay.
So, first of all, in the sake of mental health in general, it should never be a question, okay? You should have time off. But maybe I'm thinking too deeply on it.
Well, Balor said he wanted to recharge.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Yeah. As long as he understands the decision he's making... comes with not so much a price, but a realistic expectation.
Mm-hmm.
When you get back, we don't know what the landscape's going to look like, and we'll try to fit you in when we can fit you in.
Mm.
I mean, luckily for him, he may have some gusto to kind of get reinserted at a nice spot. But yes, my answer is yes. You should be able to recharge mentally. Just know what decision you make.
So, Michaels, he's taking Balor's pretty much, and any other talent is taking a risk for saying, look, I just need a couple of months off. 6 months, a year, whatever it's going to take to get you back to where you believe you need to be.
Well, I don't think you can have an extended period of time of over 6 months.
No.
Okay.
Unless you know, sure. If you have a legitimate injury that you need right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, the flip to this is if you're going to take the time off,
mm-hmm.
then... The company should not hold that against you in your spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Right.
Because if you're going to take, you know, if you need that time, which could be the, you know, the reality of the situation, it could be the determination between you ending up being a Chris Benoit case, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's a very good point.
So, I mean, if the company should allow you within a reason to have, you know, 2-3 months off without you having to worry that, hey, you know, because, listen, if you go to your office job and you have to take some kind of sabbatical
right.
for 6 weeks, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
Your office job, you can't come back to it and them go, oh, you know what now? You're going to be a janitor.
right?
So, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. The thing is, it's entertainment. There's always a market. If you don't have an established brand, you're probably not taking that time anyway. But mm-hmm. you should be at least offered the opportunity to take that.
Mm-hmm. And they do have a good amount of talent right now.
Well, apparently they do because Charlotte's off TV and they're building all these fucking heels that it's going to be great because, you know, all them and those girls that they're building up, those women that yes. apparently some asshole can't come up with the terms for. Come up with names, dude. Back it up.
Yeah, there are some women.
So not to keep going on about this. One thing I want to add that Michaels did say is you don't want something tragic to happen with, you know, Chris Benoit. And we've had even other people who may have not been on the main roster at the time when they had their issues, right? Like, I think it is important to back talent on a physical plan of, like, how are we going to make sure that these people aren't exerting themselves physically? as well as mentally. Because I'm going to be honest with you, and maybe this leads into maybe another question we may have. You know, driving around all the time from state to state is hard.
Yeah.
It can be mentally taxing.
Well, we're going to talk about that next.
You know, going into a hotel.
Yeah.
That stuff. So, I mean, them addressing that and giving them the time is great. I just don't know how that's going to work.
So, let me ask you guys. So, Sasha Banks now comes back. Does the writers, does Vince, does Paul Heyman, if she's showing back on Raw, do they put her right back, boom, on that top spot? Or they just drop her back down? She need to work her way back up.
I can answer that right now.
What's the excuse that she gets now for taking that time off?
She doesn't get an excuse because of who she is and what spot she's on. Again, I'm like I said before, Finn Balor may be able to get re-injected back in. I can't tell you right now. Let's just say Charlotte took a sabbatical for double the amount of time. You guarantee she could fucking come right back. Doesn't matter what the storyline is. It all depends on who the person is, and that's the unfortunate side about it. Because let's be honest.
But my question is Sasha coming back?
Well, this is a hypothetical.
This is Simon Street's dream. SummerSlam.
I mean, of course, there's been rumors and talks, and I don't know because I don't read them. But
he gave an example.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what needs to be clarified here is Sasha Banks did that to herself. She didn't need no fucking mental break or anything. She fucking literally sat down on a floor and kicked her fucking legs and arms, screaming allegedly.
I had to pay to watch that.
You know, right. She fucked herself.
Yeah, so she didn't go about it the right way.
No.
Okay.
Right,
She definitely should have. I mean, and we can't speak necessarily for her, but these are the situations where you think somebody may need a break away.
Right, but again, did she do it because of the fact she needed a break, or did she do it because she wants more attention and wants more money and she wants more push? Because those were the rumors. Mm-hmm. Rumor has it.
Well, I think what Daryl was trying to get at, or Impact was trying to get back.
I'm just holding the discussion.
He was just basically saying it didn't have to be Sasha Banks. It could have been somebody who for a long period of time. I guess the best person we could kind of maybe use, even though they're not really big, is your boy Lars Sullivan. Okay, yeah, he's not big, okay? But because Vince was so hard on him, for him to come in, he took his little break, right, and he was able to get back. His break came at such an odd, opportunistic time when he was actually trying to be debuted and push that off. Mm-hmm. All I was merely trying to say is there's some people that when they need to take a mental break, yes, it would be ideal that they're able to come back into the company, possibly in the same capacity that they would have been in if they hadn't taken a mental break, correct? But the problem is we all know this is business, especially in particularly WWE, that they all depend on who the person is. They may not get that same opportunity. Am I wrong on that, Michaels?
Well, it's...
No, that's why I said that they should be given without consequence of losing, quote-unquote, your spot. You have a certain amount of time allocated per year that you should be able in your contract to take.
So I'm glad that he said that. So if in the contract there's an allocated time that they have to operate within a parameter, right? That makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Because in that way it guarantees you, almost like FMLA to a certain extent, right?
Right.
Like they have a certain amount of time with FMLA if you have pre-existing whatnot. I'm not going to go into details. But your job is protected. Your position is protected.
Right. Does anybody know if their contracts are set up that way?
I don't know, but we have guy that works for WWE that could tell us that.
No, they're not. Because
okay.
when you're an independent contractor.
Sure. Right. Okay.
You come and go when you please.
That will get into the next topic, sure, essentially.
Okay. Well, let's just get into the next topic. All right, so let's do it now. Three. We made it, fellas. All right, so let's talk about it.
It's time. Biggest
bad boys of time. Thank you, Michaels. For y'all who can't see, Michaels just decided to take his finger and
stick
just
it where? Where did he stick his finger?
In his three count.
It's better than the shocker.
You know what? For Michaels, here you go. There
you go. He waits every time to do that
move. Yeah.
Don't fuck with the man running the soundboard.
Don't touch his board again.
All right, here we go. So Bailey, right? She had an interview with looked like a Christine Leahy from FS1.
Yes.
Okay. And the question was brought up about WWE talent driving themselves from city to city. Now, Justin Credible, you guys remember Justin Credible?
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. He
works at Kmart.
he had a tweet, and this is what it said. With all fairness, WWE as a touring company should provide tour buses for all of the superstars. In this day and age, it is a bit ridiculous to have us renting cars and driving up to 300 miles to make the town. Just my humble opinion. Basic question, is Justin Credible right? Go.
To some degree, I would say he is right. Listen, the business is such where it's a little bit different. I know they had buses back in the day, but, you know.
Back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day they had buses.
What are you talking about?
When? Well, they've had buses before.
No, seriously, when?
Not for all of the talent, but they've had buses before.
Well, for WrestleMania they have buses. That's what you mean, right?
And for other shows, yes. Thank you.
No. Anyway, no.
They've had buses before.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway.
You are fucking making shit up, dude.
Absolutely. I'm in fantasy land.
No, I mean, I'm just saying.
Have they never had buses to take talent from different towns?
Not fucking buses from not town ever. To town. No, not unless it was a personal bus owned by someone like Big Show. Or by Cena.
Yes, yep. Yes, okay, all right. Anyway, so they had buses before.
They haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the company.
The company has not.
Okay. The company gives two shits about that.
Yeah.
The companies have never booked buses. Vince has never chartered buses for them.
Ever.
Unless they're in fucking England, dude.
Thank you.
Or they're DX.
Yeah. Anyway, my point is
there
that
is no point. They never had buses.
Wait, go ahead, King Lucky. No, go ahead. Say your point.
They've never had buses.
They've never had company fucking book right. buses in the United States.
Okay. All right. Now to the United States.
When we launch this, I want a fucking poll on our social media. Did the WWE ever have fucking buses?
Yeah. And now to the United States. Anyway.
But they do.
My point. Okay.
They do almost all their fucking business in the United States.
Do they not do a great deal of business outside of the United States?
Not during a fucking year.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Anyway,
Michael. King Lucky.
Yes. So, my point was that, you know what? It leads to some great stories because if you watch the interview, Bailey didn't say that they all traveled together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what was missing from that, that there are other people. It made it sound like it was just her solo riding in the car, driving 300 or 400, whatever the miles are.
Yeah.
She should have specified that they typically ride together and there is a camaraderie between the talent for making towns and going to different towns.
I thought she did, though.
She did, but if you look at the way that she laid it out, it was more so like, you know, it was just woe is me at the beginning of the
interview. Oh, for fuck's sake. Jesus Christ, dude.
Michael says,
oh, the fucking king is fucking. Oh, the fucking king, Lord. Oh, the fucking king.
Michael's elaborate.
Well, I'll tell you one thing while he's thinking of what to say. This Christine Leahy seemed to be shocked. Yes. That wrestlers have to drive from city to city.
Of apparently, she would. I wonder why she'd be shocked because it's never happened that they get fucking buses.
Again, we're gonna throw that poll up. I like that idea.
I'm just saying because
throw the poll up. I don't fucking care because they don't have buses. Vince McMahon and the WWE do not charter buses for them in the United States, and they have to use them in fucking England to get around, douchebag.
All
right, so why can't they use them in the United States?
There's your point then.
Yeah, there's my point. What's your fucking point?
I had the fucking point.
Oh, the fucking king has spoken. Oh, he's fucking spoken.
Jesus.
Oh, hey, king, fuck lucky. No.
Well, let me go to you, Simon Street. You tell me, man, what your thoughts are on this.
I will say that I'm not going to even touch the bus issue. I'm just going to...
No, touch the bus.
No, I'm not fucking touching the bus. But okay. I will
lucky
say...
Just because they put pictures of wrestlers on fucking production buses doesn't mean the wrestlers are actually on the damn bus.
Uh-oh, here's Michaels.
It's the fucking guy who goes up and... Oh, hey, is Andre the Giant on that bus right now? No, sir, he's been dead for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his picture's on the bus.
Fuck off, Michaels.
Let us compose ourselves, please, for a second.
Please.
So what I will say is this.
That there's a bus.
Fuck. King, yes, Lucky, there's a fucking bus that goes straight to fucking
Take some
fucking
time out, King
Lucky. All right. So I will say that there is some functionality of why the talent would not probably find it ideal to be on one fucking bus, okay, and probably have some more versatility with the schedule of either riding together, doing, because a lot of times what you fail to realize a little bit, Lucky, is that there's a lot of places that they have to stop in before the show. A lot of them go to like fucking meet and greets and stuff like that that they have signed
and
up.
I failed to realize that.
So I'm just wondering. So if they're all on the same fucking bus, that might be a little bit hard to find that to make those. So that's one thing. Another thing too is I think they have more control over their schedule a little bit with some of the driving. So being able to let's just say if we were all talent and me and Impact were riding together on the road. Maybe he has some family in town that we could do that. It's a hell of a lot easier for him to work that out with me versus with the whole fucking bus
let's drop off. Let me ask you this question, though. Mm-hmm. So why don't they reimburse him for cars?
That's a very good question.
Yeah. And I'm not...
Fucking good question.
Because you're onto a very good point. And that is that, you know, there are some...
Well, I can answer that ignorantly.
Yeah.
And if they don't reimburse them for cars, and I'm a businessman, I would say if I am reimbursing you for cars, then I'm going to need you to be where I need you to be if it's on my dime. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, they're expected to be where they need to be even with them not paying for the car.
So my question is you're right. They have to be where they have to be, but there's a whole bunch of time in between that, so it's still their responsibility to be where they have to be, correct?
It doesn't. That doesn't matter if they're paying for the car or not paying for the car.
Well, I'm talking about if the company were to pay for the car.
If the company was to pay for the car, the same amount of time is...
So they can go wherever they want to, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. No, because the issue here is not do they get a car and travel to the next city. It's first the shock that the... interviewer had was the fact that no one was driving for them. Every single person in that car has been at that building since their call time, which is usually about mid-afternoon, right? Mm-hmm. So then you have people who are driving who now, I can tell you, I witnessed firsthand a car that had Tommy Dreamer, D-Von, and I think one other guy, might have been Spike, I'm not too sure, and Bubba Ray. Mm-hmm. Bubba Ray is in the back seat. He has a literal concussion. Mm-hmm. So you're now down one man who can drive.
Basically.
Or what if you got a concussion but you weren't diagnosed and now you're behind the wheel?
There's
a lot of different things there that, you know, the issue of having an actual driver. Mm-hmm. Number two, the money reimbursement, right? So they're paying for this stuff out of their pocket, even though they get a little stipend usually. They're going to be paying for that out of their pocket. So if I think what should happen is if they were to provide a bus, that would be something that is an option for them. And then if certain people want it to travel separate, because in the end, you have guys like Big Show who travel in their own bus. Mm-hmm. So you can always have that contract clause that if they decide then to bypass using the company bus, that now the company is waiving all responsibility and liability.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's how it could be looked at. But the general concept of this interview was, I'm surprised that you guys, after doing this, now have to go and drive 200-400 miles.
So let me ask you this question, and the only reason why I bring that up is because we know that that's the reality of them. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, and I think most fans know who are really, you know, pay attention. They know, hey, after you get done, you know, you get in your car or wherever you go, and you're going to the next city, mm-hmm. right? But I think it's kind of eye-opening how a large group of people don't. And that's why her reaction was the way it was.
Right.
It was like, oh my gosh, like, that's really the reality?
Think about this.
Like, for us, it's normal. Like, we're like, yeah, that's what they do.
Well, it's because we've been around this for a long time. But if you think about it, the general conception when it comes to something like movies, right? Mm-hmm. So people who perceive movie stars hear the stories about the limousine coming to pick them up at 5 a.m. to take them to set. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're looking at then, here's a great example too. Look at a sports team. If a baseball team, football team, whatever, they travel on the company jet, and then they have chartered buses taking them to and from the arenas. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the general perception. The society just views that that is how things are done, especially mm-hmm. when you have the NBA showing you, you know, footage of guys getting off bus and stuff. So if you're not a wrestling fan or follow wrestling that mm-hmm. religiously... also, wrestling itself will sometimes show the guys pulling up in cars, right? Mm-hmm. But they also have the other perception, which is showing people pull up in limousines. Mm-hmm. So right. now, you know, you're causing kind of, you're like, this person is an everyday man because he drives a car, but this guy is an asshole because he's a millionaire and gets limousined around. So, mm-hmm. But I think in general, what it comes down to is this bullshit about, oh, they're going to lose out on their camaraderie and stories if they, you know, are all forced to be on a bus.
Who said that?
I don't know.
The fucking did.
Oh. The fucking said that.
Oh. You're still getting your stories of camaraderie, especially if you're all on a bus.
I don't know that I said it miss out, but I said that it did help build it.
Help build it?
Yeah.
Well, just to come close to a conclusion of this. So when Justin Credible says in this day,
Justin who?
Justin Credible.
Justin who?
Credible. You don't remember Justin Credible?
He's the
he's the
you
Kmart
really
worker.
Remember?
He's the Kmart worker.
Okay. I'm sorry. I got you now.
Sorry about that. He says, but in this day and age, it is still a bit ridiculous to have us renting cars and driving up to 300 miles to make the town.
He rents a car too? And works at Kmart?
And apparently drives up to 300 miles.
He should really get like an Uber, like, to be honest with you, because that's got to be stressful to work at Kmart and be renting a car. Like,
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm done.
No? Okay. Michaels, Justin. I mean, does he just have a point here, or he just wanted to talk on his Twitter?
I mean, he has a valid point. There's no doubt. I mean, the fact of the matter is at the very least, if you're not going to give him a bus, you're not going to give him drivers, pay for the fucking rental.
Got you. Pay for the rental. Fucking. Pay for the rental?
Definitely pay for the rental.
Okay. And Simon Street, you're going to pay for the rental, right? No?
Yeah, pay for the fucking rental so you can go work at Kmart.
All right, y'all. Hey, that's the three count. for this evening. Great discussion, fellas. Hey, we got Maserati going to be coming up in just a few. So that's going to be exciting.
Cover star.
It's always exciting to hear.
Yes. But while we're here, we have a big show that is going to be coming up in about 2 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. Yes. At the Boulder Station Kicks Lounge. It'll be our second show. It's the last Monday. That is July 29th. We're going to have RVD and Katie Forbes there. So it's exciting. We've already heard that they're going to have their own drinks. So we're by next episode. We'll
tell you right now what's going on.
Exclusive.
Ooh, exclusive.
You know, I'm going to start working on an exclusive imaging so we can.
Imaging?
Yeah, I can just hit the button and it'll go exclusives. Boom.
Wow.
So you can go ahead and
okay,
you can get yourself a for $6.
$6?
Nice.
You're gonna get yourself a Forbesinator.
Forbesinator, okay.
Forbesinator.
Please, Forbesinator.
Please tell me what's in that drink.
It is vodka. Okay. Peachtree schnapps.
Okay.
Blue Curacao and cranberry juice.
That actually sounds pretty good. And I'm not even a big drinker. Yeah. And
you don't drink at all.
But that sounds kind of, you know.
Sounds tasty. I love peaches.
There you go.
Why peach?
Well,
because that's
what they put in the drink.
I'm just curious. Why peach?
Because that's the preferred liquor in the Forbesinator.
I'm just curious, man. I mean, Forbesinator with a peach in it sounds great to me. But what's RVD's?
The Van Dam.
The Van Dam.
The Van Dam.
You can go to the bartender and say, look, I need a Van Dam right now.
Now, that's going to cost you $8, but...
Okay. Mm. Okay.
It has a little bit of... bourbon or rye, vineurs, a splash of bitters, and a little sugar cube in it, apparently. So
interesting.
Really, yeah. So you got a couple of classy drinks to choose from.
I was told that bourbon puts hair on a man's chest. Is that?
My question, if you're saying it puts hair on your chest, why are you reaching down at your crotch? What's going on, bro?
How can you see when I'm reaching?
I don't know what you were doing. You said put your hand on your chest and then the hand went. I got scared, man. I got scared.
You know what? Your mic's off.
Oh, is it? You just going to cut off my mic? You going to cut off my mic? Don't make me go Kevin Owens up in this
bitch. God. Hey, anyways, just mark it on your calendars. Yeah. Come hang out with us. We're going to all be there. All your bad boys will be there. And we had an exciting time when we had Kenny King in June. So we're expecting a great show with RVD and Katie.
What's you know up, what I Simon? Just realized, guys?
Yeah.
Katie Forbes is our first ever live female guest.
Yes.
I mean, my mind just like straight up. Like, I think we should do something real special. Like to inaugurate, obviously within the budget. You know what I mean? To inaugurate her, like she's kind of like the queen, right? Like the first official, or maybe I'm just thinking too big. I'm just saying.
You're saying inaugurate?
I don't know, something like that. She's the first live female guest.
I got you. We're gonna have to.
We got some red carpet.
We can see what's in the budget.
Okay, so I get some red butcher paper then.
But we will have a mic there for people to ask questions like we had before. So if you want to ask either one of them a question, we will have our mic set up as well. And it's going to be an exciting evening. 6 p.m. is around the time. We're asking everyone to be there. You don't have to be there right at 6, but you know, anytime after 6, roll through and just come to enjoy a great show at Boulder Station, the Kicks Lounge. We will be there Monday, July 29th.
This is Ironheart Douglas James. I am a Santino Bros Wrestling alumni. And on August 17th, we are putting on Put Up or Shut Up. And every time I go out there, I show out, show up, and I put up or shut up. So check out the show on August 17th in Southgate, California.
Well, hey, everybody, this is Darwin Finch, just reminding you here to catch Wrestling Pro Wrestling at the Burbank Moose Lodge every third Friday of every month.
Earthlings of Las Vegas, please check out FSW July 20th right here in Las Vegas. Your Warlord of Weird loves FSW, and I encourage you all to come and check out one heck of a show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Simon Street with the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Here to let everybody know, it has just been announced that FSW and Impact Wrestling will be holding another tryout on Wednesday, September 4th. This is just 2 days prior to the Impact tapings on September 5th and 6th. Again, FSW and Impact Wrestling will be holding tryouts on September 4th. That's a Wednesday, y'all. Get out there, show them what you got. You never know, anything could happen.
Hey, everybody, it's Matt Michaels. You're going to be listening today to an interview with a star of future stars of wrestling. That's FSW out here in Las Vegas. If you haven't checked out FSW or don't know much about them, they're one of the premier organizations here on the West Coast. They have a training school, the Snake Pit, which is one of the top training schools in all of the country. And if you look at guys like Chris Bay, Killer Cross, and a whole handful more, you're going to find out that these guys are some of the hottest talents in pro wrestling today. So please check out FSW's website. Check out the name of the wrestler we're interviewing if you haven't heard of them before, just to get a little information about them beyond the interview you're about to hear. And then this way, you can say I was there at the beginning and got to know the person before they were a star.
Now back to Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
Have an independent professional wrestler who is best known for her work in FSW here in Las Vegas. Vegas Bad Boys welcomes Maserati. Hey there, how are you?
How's it going? You forgot to mention the Miss FWA female with attitude.
That's right.
Boom.
Yeah, exactly. Put you in your place.
Please correct this, man.
You know what? Correction made.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like we'll be doing a lot of that today.
Oh, man. Hey, you could direct all that to DJ Impact. You know,
I'll take that heat.
Maserati, so let's kick things off. Were you always a wrestling fan?
Yes, actually, ever since the mid-90s, 96. It was a little bit right before going into 97. Right before the Attitude Era started.
Nice. Yes. And during that time, like, who were some of your favorites? Because I know that was like a crazy time.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, I was a big fan of, obviously, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Of course, Hunter as well. Triple H now.
Yeah.
And let's see. For old school, I would have to say Arn Anderson.
Oh,
and,
right. Good choice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
So you grabbed.
I watched both WWF and WCW Nitro back in the day. So
yeah, great. That's awesome because, I mean, like when you watch both shows, you really got a good spectrum of like what wrestling was like. Because with WCW, you felt like kind of they were focused more on wrestling, and then with WWEF, they were more so focused on entertainment, and so you really got the best of both worlds by watching those two shows.
Oh yeah.
when you were watching, did you gravitate more towards the heels or the faces?
Actually, more for the faces, I'm not going to lie. When it came into 98 play, I guess, I was a big fan of the Hardys. And then later on when they saved Lita from S.A. Rios and they clicked up and did their whole Team Extreme, that's when I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl is badass. And this group is amazing. So I wanted to be a high flyer and just kind of a kick-ass girl like Lita and stuff. I would get kind of in trouble in school trying to dress like her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice. So obviously, you know, we talked about what kind of propelled you into the business. What did that look like as far as getting into a school, getting trained? Where did you go to get your training?
Actually, when I was a kid, my dad was the only one that actually believed how badly I wanted to be a wrestler.
Wow.
And we didn't know that there was actually wrestling schools at that time back then. So he would put me in kickboxing and taekwondo. I did gymnastics, tennis, dance. I did a lot of other sports at the time. I literally did not know about actual wrestling schools till I moved out here to Vegas.
Oh, wow. When did you move out here to Vegas?
I moved out here in April 2012.
Okay.
And then I found out about FSW 2015, March 2015.
Wow. And so, you know, going into a school like FSW, you know, it's vastly probably changed now from what it was then. Were you nervous, you know, going into that experience?
Yeah, actually, it's not what I expected. And let's face it, you know, wrestling is going to keep evolving throughout the time. I'm not going to lie, like, I am a big fan of old school wrestling. but I do like how the women's wrestling has been evolving over these past years. So that's been great. And it's good to be a part of that.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, you know, my question for you is, you know, what was your thought process with creating Maserati? Because, like I said, you are very noticeable as soon as you step in and your presence is felt. You know, where did that come from?
Okay, so interesting story about that. I actually did not choose who I wanted to be in the beginning. I actually wanted to come in and be this badass girl like Lita, and then try to do all the, like, since I was very athletic and able to do like moonsaults and things and all the cool stuff, that's exactly what I wanted to do. But after a while understanding the psychology of wrestling and understanding, you know, people's characters and just how everything really works in the industry, then I saw forth what it meant to be who I am now. And actually, I did not want to be with Nick Bugatti in the beginning. I was
funny
actually
how that
asked,
worked out.
He actually asked me to do that. And him and my trainer, Remy Marcel, and our promoter, Joe, had this idea of me clicking up with him. And I said no, because he's a bad guy. I'm a good girl, you know, this and that. Then they're like, try it out, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're still training. You're not ready to wrestle yet. So I said, okay, you know. In the beginning, I just didn't understand. Like, I was kind of, like, nervous, I guess, because I came out with smiles and all happy. And it took me a while to channel my inner Maserati. But then it turns out it's actually Maserati is me, and it basically explains just the way of how sassy I can be with my friends and stuff, and I guess I was able to channel that and bring out the Maserati in me.
You know, I got to tell you, because we got a chance to meet with you and interact with you after the show, and, you know, the character that you play is so much of a contrast from who you really are. Like, you had just finished the show and you came out and, you know, gave hugs and smiles to everybody. So it's awesome that you could pull that character off on TV.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it is hard. You know, me being a bad guy, I am supposed to, you know, shoo away the fans. But for those who have been there for me since day one, since before I was anything, and has been supporting me since before, you know, I just can't, you know, it's hard to, you know, split that from reality to your character.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. What's something that everyone would be surprised to know about Maserati?
Guess back in the day, you could say I was a singer and a dancer.
Oh, there you go. Do you still have that passion?
Well, let's say my parents tried to push that on me. Well, my mom did because I wanted to be a wrestler, and she thought that was a phase. she didn't believe that was a real thing. And
right.
She still doesn't right now to this day. We don't really talk, but it's okay.
Wow.
But I'm doing my thing, so that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Well, I could tell you, you know, you're definitely doing the right thing because you are on track. I mean, you're going to, you know, you've been to China wrestling in Shanghai, first woman of OWE. Is that right?
That is true, yes.
Yeah, so tell everybody about that experience, because obviously you wrestled here in the States and you've wrestled, you know, all around the U.S., but going there must have been something totally different for you.
Oh, it was a huge culture shock.
Yes.
And it was actually my first time out of the country, and our first time out of the country together, me and Nick as a couple, yeah, and as wrestling partners. So it was very great. The language barrier was pretty crazy, I'm not going to lie. We had our Lucha group that was from Mexico. We had our Strong Style group from Japan. Then we have our Chinese crew, and then us Americans. So we had all these different types of languages. We had to kind of help each other, like, learn each other's languages. And luckily, I got lucky to wrestle Zeta, who actually could speak English and Chinese, to whereas all the guys kind of had to really work hard with each other in the ring, since they can't really, you know,
yeah,
things mess up.
Yeah. And you guys have quite the rivalry. I mean, you know, you've wrestled a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. I beat that bitch every time.
Oh. Let me ask you this. You, because you're the first lady of OWE and, you know, FSW, how hard was it to earn the respect or command the respect of those male counterparts?
Well, being in China, it's a different aspect for women out there. They do not believe women can wrestle. Mm. They actually, when I came out there, they thought I was just out there for Nick, which, wow, in reality, I met Nick in training. So people just think I'm just riding his coattail, and I'm like, no, I'm actually older and been watching wrestling a little longer than him. Oh. So, my dream up in here, you know.
That's
what I
awesome.
Mean? me and Zeta had to prove ourselves in there, since they really didn't believe women could wrestle. Once we kept working each other for a while, finally we're starting to prove ourselves, showing them what we could do. Another aspect is it's different because, you know, they do Kung Fu and then Strong Style out in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then, like, so the Chinese and Japanese, they, you know, work a little bit different. So to whereas if you're watching us Americans work, we like to, you know, work a certain way as well, same as Luchas.
Right.
But I believe just because we all work a certain way, some will see things differently and wonder why this is wrestled, like people are wrestling a certain way. But it's explained to everyone that everyone has their own style.
Right. Yeah,
if
definitely.
That makes sense.
So the question that I want to ask is, you mentioned a little bit earlier how, you know, in the beginning, when you were partnered up with Nick, you were not into the idea, and to hear that, you know, your partnership has progressed and blossomed into a relationship of support. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about? Because that sounds like a fantastic story.
I know, right? Well, he was actually dating somebody at the time, and I was actually just about to get out of a relationship that where he actually had told me I either have to choose him or wrestling because he says I'm never going to make it.
Oh, wow.
So
big middle finger to him right now, right?
So I was about to say, so guess what happened? Guess what I chose?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you can't cloud my dream. So that was going on, and he had his relationship, but I guess things were just not working out with them. But he was always loyal and faithful, and there was just I don't know, just once we broke away and me and him just worked more and more together as a partners, it just ended out that we had the same interested, and we'd had a lot of just common goals and passions, and it just worked out.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally like a movie when the first time kissed me.
That's, awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all need to come up with a script.
it was a really funny story because we went out of town for our first time together. And we just talk about, how funny people just think that we're just because we're working together, we're together. We're like, you know, how funny would that be? Ha, ha, ha. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then next thing you know, after the show, he just bounces open and he's like, you know what? Let's try this. And then it was literally like a movie, and he gave me a kiss. So that
was were you secretly crushing on him?
I thought he was cute.
Let me ask.
I was like, wow, he has better hair than me. So.
he does have amazing hair.
Yeah, he does have a nice mane.
I'm going to go tell a grown man, you know, he got amazing hair, but his hair is pretty on point.
Yeah, you know, I have to buy mine to make mine look as good as his, so it's ridiculous.
Let me ask you this, too, along those lines. What are, like, some of the positives and negatives of dating someone in the business? You know, you guys travel a lot and so forth.
Well, I've always was told ever since starting, don't date in the business. But when I was dating out of the business, it obviously did not work out that well because they don't understand the style, the lifestyle that we bring. Mm-hmm. Like understanding the traveling and having to work with the opposite sex and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I believe like it's easier for us because we already know what we have to deal with. Crazy fans or people trying to hit on us, and it's like, you know, as long as we're loyal and faithful, which he's always proved that to me when he was in his other relationship, you know, I find it works out. You know, some people could date in the business, some people can't, you know.
Right.
Some people could keep it in the pants, some people can't.
Oops. Hello.
So, obviously, you've shown that you're not afraid to get in there and mix it up with the guys as well as the ladies. What is your reaction to the growing trend of intergender wrestling and how it's blossomed, both on the indie scene and also in some of the major promotions?
You know, I think it's great. You know, I don't get a lot of intergender matches that much, but when I get them, they're pretty fun. I honestly think, you know, if you, like, I really don't see, like, a big thing to it to me. I know probably people are going to hate me for saying that. But honestly, I don't care. I'm Maserati, so whatever.
That's right. So, right. Keeping it real.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, like, hey, it's there. You know, it's nothing new. It used to happen back in the days in WWE Attitude Era days. So, you know, they're bringing it back now, which is cool. It's whatevs. whatever tickles your fancy. I'm down to wrestle whoever. It doesn't matter how small you are, how big you are. I'll take you down.
That's awesome. And, you know, last week it was the chair shot heard around Vegas and probably around the world. I gotta ask you, was that the stiffest shot you ever got?
That was the first chair shot I've ever taken to the head. I've taken a sheet pan, but not a Not a chair.
My God, we were live there, and the sound was just like, wow. And then the audience popped so crazy for it. And I was looking at Damian Drake's face. I'm like, oh, my God.
Did he and all those losers were all excited.
You're right, exactly.
They're all chanting and like excited. And Daniel Bryant, yes, man. It's like, give me a break. I just got hit by a chair.
Right.
You know, kind of going with that, you know, the one question that I want to ask is, you know, what is your favorite type of match? To have, like, if you got to just choose the match you want to be in, what would you prefer?
Well, being the fact that the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys were my faves back in the day, I'm not gonna lie, I've always been interested in a TLC match or a ladder match or some type of hardcore match like that.
Man, we gotta get Joe to set that up. I know FSW got a show coming up, so. That'd be
if
crazy.
You could give me some girls. You never wants to bring me nothing.
Right. Yeah. We need some more girls at FSW.
Is actually my next question.
Well, there it is.
My next question is you know, I've been in Vegas since 97, and I've seen the wrestling scene really start to elevate. But the one component that I feel is missing is having more established women here, home base.
Yes.
Is that something that you also see as well? And if so, you know, what are things that you think could be done to start elevating that or start promoting and trying to get more female talents out here?
Honestly, I love my company to death because I wouldn't be anywhere without FSW. Mm-hmm. I would not be anywhere. But I feel we should promote more girls, and we should book more with female matches out here.
Yes.
You know, there's literally been the only one for the past few years until we have Sandra Moon trying to rain in my parade.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Y'all two kind of had it out with each other. Was it the last FSW show?
I'm actually going to face her and Zeta Zhang in a tag team match at Inoki Dojo. Wow. So be ready, because Zeta tried to, you know, cheat and take my match last time out there a couple weeks ago.
This time
I'm coming back.
Nice. Well, you better snatch both of them bald.
Oh, it's gonna happen. Snatch up both their hairs, make my own weave with it.
There you go. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Well, listen, you definitely mentioned Lita earlier, so I'm going to ask, and I know the answer already, but your dream match from now and then in the past, who would those two opponents be?
Yes, obviously Lita would have been my dream match from back in the day. as of now, honestly, it would be Bianca Belair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that one. Mm-hmm. Wow, that'd be a good one.
She's got that attitude and that flair and that spice that I like as well. And I just want to, you know, see who's got the better attitude.
Oh, man, that just gave me goosebumps. Right? Like, that match right there would be amazing.
Yeah, sign me up for that. Mm-hmm. So recently you were prominently featured in the Las Vegas Weekly.
Yes.
And you were actually front and center right on the cover.
As I should be.
Right. There we go. Let's get that straight. So what was that experience like?
It was actually very great. The people there were very nice and welcoming. Easy questions. They make you feel, you know, very warm over there. The pictures are great. They make sure your hair is not out of place. Unlike some places I've taken photos at and they mess up, you know. I have an eyelash out of place or something and they don't tell me. Uh-oh. But they were very professional here and they were very great.
That's so awesome. You know, when I saw that cover, because I'm a huge wrestling fan and have been for so long, and then I've been to Vegas many, many times over until I moved here, but I always remember Las Vegas Weekly featuring the hottest things in Vegas. the clubs and, you know, this DJ's coming or this artist is coming, you know, but to see wrestling take a center stage on that was just an unreal feel.
And I loved it.
Yeah, it was just amazing. Awesome. I got two copies. How many copies you got?
I have one only.
What?
I know.
You know what? Next time I see you, I got to have you autograph my copy.
Why do you have two copies?
I definitely will. just in case he loses one.
I just want to know, man.
I just want to know, man. You got two copies.
Dude, I don't need Bugatti pulling up on me, bro.
Hey, don't try, man. You know what I'm saying?
Look, all I'm saying is you had two copies. You couldn't give us one? That's all I'm saying, man. I'm calling suspect on you, man.
Nah, Maserati, he's trying to get Bugatti to pull up on me. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going for that. No, I gotta.
You good, man. Yeah. You good. Don't worry. No worries.
Let me ask you, inspirations. You know, what's the best piece of advice you've gotten since you got into the business? You work with some very talented trainers over there at FSW. And so, what's some of the best advice you've gotten?
Keep your mouth shut and listen.
I love it. Yeah, we got an opportunity to sit in on a training class at FSW, and it was my first time ever sitting in. But
you're breaking out. You're breaking out.
Let me see. Is that me? Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. But we actually got a chance to sit in on a class at FSW, and it was my first one, and it was just so refreshing to see. You know, like Damian Drake was there and Sim Bodie, and everybody was part of this productive and creative session, like, because the show was coming up, like, I think in a week or 2 weeks. This was a couple months ago. But it was a really, like, fun and learning environment. And then overall, I mean, just the things that go on in that school are just outstanding.
Yes. It's great. I got a good family there.
So, you know, the one thing, kind of speaking about FSW, you know, and you've been there for quite some time, you know, what's next on your pathway in your career? I mean, do you want to continue doing what you're doing now? Do you want to expand more, or do you see yourself maybe in the next 5-6 years? Being part of that that cornerstone of getting more women's wrestling out here, possibly.
Mm. I love to, you know, I would like to lead a nice revolution of women out here for Vegas. It just sucks that we don't have a lot of women out here in Vegas wanting to put their all in there. So I'm hoping that maybe we could get that going. Also, I wouldn't, I don't know, I guess since, you know, I wouldn't deny that I would definitely be excited for possibly working for Ring of Honor officially.
That's right.
Just putting that out there.
The Woman of Honor match, yeah.
Just putting that out there. They're great people over there to work with. I've worked with them a couple times, but
how was that?
You know, I'm trying to get there a little bit more often. It was actually a great experience. You know, you hear a lot of stuff from WWE, from everybody, people saying like how stressful it is over there, but I've actually worked with Ring of Honor a couple times, and actually a lot of times, like behind the scenes, and then a couple times obviously in the ring. But they are always awesome. They are always willing to open some knowledge, you know. Honestly, like, they just bring such good vibes, other than the fact of when other friends come back from WWE and they just come back all torn down.
Right.
True.
You know, they help you out. They give you so much good knowledge. Kenny King is actually one of my trainers from FSW that works at Ring of Honor. So.
That's awesome. We had Kenny on the show, and Kenny's a good dude. He's a friend of the show now.
Oh, yes. Him and Remy Marcel have definitely been helping me throughout my whole path in this wrestling career right now and where I'm trying to go with it. So, you know, who knows?
That's awesome.
Definitely.
Good vibes and prayers right there. Everybody has been awesome over there.
You definitely will get everything you need from us. You know, whatever we can do, we'll promote, you know, anything that you're a part of.
Cool. And so Maserati. So we have a segment that we like to do here on the show, and it's just going to be simple word association. So I've got a list of names, both names in the business and also of promotions. And what I want you to do is just say the first thing that comes to your mind when I say those things, and we're going to do it for 70 seconds, okay?
So when I hear somebody's name, I say what's on my first thing on the mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's go ahead and get it going.
Sin City Steve, 70 deadly seconds starts now.
Lita.
The best bitch ever.
Kenny King.
Awesome, great trainer.
Disco Inferno.
Very strict, but really great, knowledgeable trainer.
Future Stars of Wrestling.
One of the best companies in the world.
Nick Bugatti.
My love.
Intergender Wrestling.
All right, all right, all right.
Remy Marcel.
The best, one of the best trainers in the world.
Zeta Zhang.
You know, very sweet, very sweet. Love her on the outside. I'll beat her up in the ring, though.
Oriental Wrestling Entertainment.
Great company, great people.
Ruby Reyes.
She's a bitch, but she's awesome.
Delilah Doom.
She's a cutie. I love her.
Awesome.
That was no pressure there, right?
No. I don't even think she sweat. I don't even think she sweat at all.
My, my armpits are sweating a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, oh.
That's so cool.
Well, the next segment is kind of our closing segment that I kind of put out there for everybody we interview. But with this one, before we get started, just want to tell you to get loose, you know, get ready, you know what I mean? Take the filter off if you hadn't already take the filter off, because this segment is entitled the Oh Shit Moment. So basically what it is, you're going to have an opportunity to go ahead and tell us a story, whether it be in the ring, outside the ring, when you were a child, the age you are now, in the bathroom, in the grocery store line, at the hair salon, anywhere where you have witnessed or experienced firsthand something so ridiculous, something so crazy, left field, that you were only left with the utter words of, oh shit. Maserati, start your story.
Oh, what? I don't even know. Spot shit right there.
You must have had something good in the ring.
That chair shot could be an oh shit moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is an oh shit. Oh, well, I did. Oh, you know what? Actually, it's not a big, big oh shit, but it's an oh shit that happened in OWE.
Uh-oh. Let's hear
it. I hope they did cut it out. I'm not sure. I never got that footage. So I'm getting dressed in the back, and I think this bitch actually sabotaged me on purpose. Hold on, let me tell you. So I'm in the back with Zeta, you know, we're chilling, I'm getting dressed, whatever. And usually Nick Bugatti is usually the one who fixes my pink top and ties in the back and hook latches. I didn't have him there, and since she was, you know, there in the dressing room, I asked her, you know, can you put it on for me? She asked, oh, doesn't this ever come off in the ring? I said, no, it never does. She put it on, and we go and we have we're in our match. Barely started, not even like 2 minutes. And, you know, I'm getting the upper hand, obviously. Then I realize when I'm beating her up on the floor and just punching her, all I feel is a loose little latch on the back, and I feel my pink top open on the back. And I notice it starts coming apart from the front. So I'm like trapped. So I get up and I just try to, you know, just try to fix my hair, supposedly, you know, walking away. But in reality, I'm trying to fix my, the latch of my back, my top. So and I heard the audience already go, oh, so I already knew. They saw that my top had partially came off.
Wow.
So I don't know if the camera saw that.
Crazy.
Well, yeah, I was like, oh, shit.
Well, I will definitely tell you, that is the first oh, shit story where definitely I could say at the end of your story that the Maserati top had to be down.
That, wow.
Only one time.
Well, let me ask you this. Coming up, what do you have going on? Where can folks catch you at if they want to check out some of that Maserati action?
We have a few FSW shows coming up, I believe, July 20th, I believe, and August 3rd.
Nice. We'll be there.
Hope I'm not lying to you guys.
Somewhere along those days. Don't hold you to it. Yeah. Yeah, I heard about the 20th date too, so I'm really excited to see what you guys put on. Maybe we get that ladder match going for you.
That'd be great.
Maybe I could get some actual female up in there, you know?
Yeah. Maybe
like,
you
where's my belt at, Joe? Like, damn.
Exactly.
I know, right?
Exactly. That would be such a huge move on his part.
It would be.
If he came out with a women's title. And then he got some more women. You know what
he
should
do? Well,
he
does have a women's title, but, you know, Taya's out there hiding somewhere and, you know, doesn't want to give me the belt. So.
Right. Yeah.
So it sounds like you're going to have to go hunt a bitch down. That's what you're going to have to do.
I don't know if Joe just knows that, you know, obviously I'm the better champion and he doesn't want to give it to me. Oh. You know, and I mean, I held this shit down here for 4 years now. He needs to, you know, start respecting an actual lady.
You know what you could pitch to him? Maybe like an open invitation. An open invitational for the women's title.
Definitely. She's over there hiding with it. Yeah. Not trying to give it up.
Hmm. Well, you know, the only thing I can tell you is anytime somebody really wants something, sometimes it's just better to take it.
There it is.
You're right. You're probably going to have to, you know, put her on notice.
Yeah, go pull up on Ty. Call her out.
I'm calling out right now.
Actually. Oh,
all right. So
exclusive.
So here it is. You go ahead and call her out right now. You got the spotlight. Go and do it,
Miss Taya. You know, this is the real women's champion of FSW. Quit hiding behind a little rock. Come out and play.
Wow! There it is. The challenge has been made.
The gauntlet has been thrown, as it were.
And we're going to make sure we take that one clip of you letting them know what the deal is, and we're going to make sure that we put it anywhere we possibly can. In fact, we're going to expand so much, we're going to make posters.
Oh.
Where you at?
Definitely.
Where you at? With a face and the title. Where you at? Definitely. And a number and a link where you can find them. Where you at?
Definitely, because in the end, it's all about attitude. So
that's right.
I'm ready.
And you got it,
Maserati. Let me ask you, as we come into a close, what's the best way for folks to reach you on your social media?
Yes, you could reach me on my Instagram, on my Instagram as well. I have my Gmail on there posted.
Okay.
And then those two are actually pretty good. And then Facebook also.
Yeah.
And all three.
And you post all your events on there as well. So
yes.
Gotcha.
I hate it when people ask me or get mad the day of a show and say, oh, why didn't you tell me?
Right.
I'm like, yo, I've been posting it for weeks.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the IG username?
It's Shayna Lazarus.
All right. There we go.
Yes, that is my government name.
Oh, there it is. Wow.
Oh, well.
That's a cool last name. I got to be honest with you. Lazarus? Did you say Lazarus,
yeah,
right?
It, Yes, that's an awesome last name. It's in the Bible. It's pretty famous.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Maserati, for hanging out with us. And we look forward to seeing you in your matches, being that we're local. And,
you guys better take lots of pictures of me and make sure you get my good angles.
Oh, you better believe it, especially what you put in the L up on your forehead.
Yes.
We'll take all the best pictures as long as you keep giving us the photo ops.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. Everybody, Maserati.
Thank you.
No doubt. All right, so we're getting close to the end of the show. Fellas, I'm just going to go around the table with anything else you want to say. Simon Street?
Just want to say everybody have a great week. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And please feel free to comment on any of our shows. We have a lot of content.
Yeah.
Want to hear from y'all.
Yeah. Post a comment. King Lucky.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
And you can ride in the bus.
That's goddamn right.
All right, all right. Matt Michaels.
I don't know. Somewhere Rosa Parks is crying.
Wow! What a dick.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, that means it's time to end the show.
It's because she had to sit next to Enzo.
You're lying there.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.